The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
His pancreas ruptures. He hears them call code blue. He leaves his body. He can see his body there. And this brilliant light appears. Santosh said, I knew this light was divine. I knew this was God. And I knew I had to obey him. But I instantly fell in love with this light. Hmm.
John Burke exposes mysteries of heaven by studying people around the world who have been brought back from clinical death. Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robison, and Tammy, as they saw in the opening of the tease there, we're talking about near-death experiences. Have you ever had one?
I haven't.
Do you know anyone that's had one?
I don't, and I'm fascinated by it, honestly.
Too.
Yeah, I'd like to know more.
And I don't. Did you grow up, was it okay to talk about these things?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it was kind of a spooky thing, like that's not even... Yeah. Biblical or godly, I think I even was like, you don't talk about that stuff.
Yeah, but it's one of those, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah,
so we're going to talk about it today, and we have the perfect guest to talk about it and put it in a biblical perspective, because that's where we start. John Burke is our guest, and he has a new book called Imagine the God of Heaven. Great of you to be here, because this is so fascinating.
Great to be back.
Your background is in pastoring and church planning and things like that?
Yeah. I was actually an engineer for years, and then I became a pastor. I started a church in Austin, Texas, my wife and I did.
How do you make that jump to near-death experiences?
Well, actually, it goes all the way back to how I came to faith. Huh. So I was an agnostic, and my dad was dying of cancer. And this is way back in the late 70s, early 80s, and someone gave him the very first research on near-death experiences. And this is when, you know, when people clinically die, they have a heart attack, no heartbeat, no brain waves, and yet they're resuscitated, or God brings them back miraculously. And they talk about how they experienced the life to come. Hmm. And I saw this book on his dresser. And like I said, I didn't believe in God. I thought Jesus was a legend. I read it in one night, and I said, oh my gosh, this like could be real evidence that there really is an afterlife, and maybe even evidence for God. Hmm. And that opened me up to actually seeking and actually starting to study the Bible. And I came to faith in Christ not long after that. And I've just had a curiosity. I'm an engineer. I have a curious brain. So really, for 30 years, I've studied well over 1,000 of them, trying to understand how do what these people are saying fit with what the Bible says. And in 2015, I wrote the book Imagine Heaven, showing that the theology of heaven that you see in the Bible is what they are describing. And so I was trying to show that. And in Imagine the God of Heaven, you know, what's fascinating is after interviewing hundreds of these people, studying thousands of them, of all the beauty of heaven, of all the wonderful reunions, of the incredible experience beyond any words, what they commonly said, I mean, person to person, if they encountered God, they said nothing compared to just being in the presence of God. That he was the love we've always wanted.
So it was less about heaven and more about the God of heaven.
That's what I'm writing about in this next book, is really showing how really the love story of God throughout the Bible, that he's been telling throughout history, his character, his attributes, his heart for people, and how what he wants, how we relate to him, how we walk with him, that is actually what people are experiencing of God all over the globe. And that's the crazy part, is that they're experiencing the same God of the Bible all over the globe.
Okay, so I'm at home watching television right now, watching John on television, and I want to say, okay, of all the people you've interviewed, all the stories that you've written about, tell me a couple, convince me that this is real and these people have really experienced God. D- Do you have a couple favorites? I'd love to hear these stories.
Well, let me say, first of all, you know, I was skeptical about them for a long time. And I write in Imagine the God of Heaven about the 10 points of evidence that any alternative theory has to answer to. And it's what convinced me, like, just real quickly, verifiable observations. So when people die, they say that they leave their bodies, but they're still there. They have a spiritual body.
Yeah.
I think Paul actually might have had a near-death experience. Mm. You know, in Acts chapter 14, it says he was stoned to death in Lystra. Mm. They dragged him out of the city and left him for dead. Huh. And then he gets back up and goes back in the city, which I wouldn't do. would not advise that. But then, you know, interestingly, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 14 years ago, he's talking about himself, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but I was taken up to the third heaven and saw and heard things inexpressible.
Yeah. Mm.
And then he talks about these things.
That's interesting.
And these things correlate with what these people are saying. So one of the things he said is we still have a spiritual body, right? It's buried in brokenness, raised in glory. It's buried in weakness, but it's raised in dunamos, or power.
Yeah.
And they talk about that, okay. That we're ourselves. And initially when they die, they're in this spiritual body, but they're there in the room and they can see the resuscitation taking place.
Yeah.
So there have been many studies done. You know, millions of people have had these experiences. The Gallup poll found that 1 out of 25 Americans has had a near-death experience.
Really?
Yes.
Don't like to talk about it.
Studies done.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's a sacred thing.
Yeah. Right.
That's what you realize. Is they get the kind of like
right, yes,
and
right.
they're like, you don't understand. Yeah. Because they say it's more real than anything they've ever experienced in this
on
life.
Earth,
wow.
Right.
Wow.
Which is hard to understand, even, right?
Yeah.
But they initially can see the resuscitation. Now, studies have been done on the observations they've made that they shouldn't have been able to make because they were unconscious,
right.
And found that 98% of them are completely accurate. About 6% of those had some questionable things. Only 1 to 2% inaccurate.
Well,
so they're making observations.
It's not just that. You talked about last time you were on the program how they were making observations of things they couldn't physically see from the location they were at.
Exactly.
Whether it's on the roof of the building or just a perspective that they wouldn't have had, even if their eyes were open and they subconsciously.
That's just one of 10 points.
Yeah.
Like another one, blind people, when they have a near-death experience, they see the same things.
Oh.
They have the same experience.
And they can see. And they don't have the frame of reference that we would.
And they can see.
Wow.
They experience God in the same way.
Okay, what does God look like? Let's get to the God part.
Yeah.
What does God look like for the ones that you think are legitimate near-death experiences?
Well, let me tell you, you wanted to hear a cool story. You know, one of the things that's just amazing is after I wrote Imagine Heaven, I kind of quit writing. I said, okay, Lord, I did what you wanted. And interestingly, your dad was one of the ones that got me back writing because the Lord started saying to me through lots of people, you're going to write again. And your dad called me and said, hey, Betty and I just read Imagine Heaven again. And I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to call you and say, you need to write on this again. It was 1 of 12 people that did that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God brought these stories from all over the world. And I think I believe that this is an apologetic. These are testimonies from all over the world for our global age to show that this is the God of all nations. He always has been. Mm-hmm. So for instance, Santosh Akarchi, manufacturing engineer, grew up in India, Hindu, that's all he knew. His pancreas ruptures. He hears them call code blue. He leaves his body. He can see his body there. And this brilliant light appears. Now, this is common, that God appears as this light. And they say brighter than the sun, but not hard to look at. Mm-hmm. And Santosh said, I knew this light was divine. I knew this was God. And I knew I had to obey him. But I instantly fell in love with this light.
Mm.
He said, because I knew that he was there to protect me and take me somewhere safe. Mm. They travel. So another commonality, they go through this tunnel and they're traveling somewhere. He doesn't know where. They come to, and this is what's wild, this place where the light parks over This place at Santosh describes as a giant, enormous compound, gorgeous. Okay, if you've ever been to India, which I have many times, there are compounds everywhere, these walled communities. So I was trying to figure out, what do you mean? Well, he's describing Revelation 21. He's describing the New Jerusalem, but he didn't know it. And so he says it had very high, beautiful walls. And he said, and this is another commonality, on the other side, you can see for miles and miles, like your vision is not limited, which we would think, oh, well, that's not biblical, but actually it is. John in Revelation 21 is taken by the Spirit to a very high mountain, and yet he reads the names on the gates of the New Jerusalem. How?
Incredible.
Well, that's what they say. So he sees the city, and he describes it as this walled place with such beauty inside, mansions inside, and 12 gates, all of them closed to him. And they were guarded by angels, and when he saw the angels guarding the gates, he knew this is the kingdom of heaven. And he longed to get in. He said, this is what we were created for. And then he sees hell as well.
Oh, wow.
So he's up on a platform, and he looks down to his left, and he sees this, he describes it as an abyss, and darkness, and at the bottom, it looked like fire. That's what he describes. Okay. He's Hindu.
He's this guy who hadn't read the Bible a bunch?
Like, no, he's not read the Bible at all, but he's describing it. And he looks to his right, and there he sees, he says, the Almighty on a throne, and he knew this is God, but he was appearing now as a man, but he looked at his eyes and they were like John described in Revelation 1, like eyes of fire, like flames of fire. He sees his whole life flash before him, all his sins, and he falls down and he says, Lord, forgive me, because he knows that's what I deserve.
How does he know it's Christ and not a Hindu god? Oh, he doesn't yet.
He doesn't yet. He doesn't know who he is. He just knows it's the Lord. He just knows it's God. And he's saying this, forgive me, Lord. And then the Lord speaks to him. And he said his voice was compassionate and tender and merciful. And he said, I knew I deserved this, so I didn't understand why he was so merciful and compassionate. He said, I'm going to send you back. And I want you to love your family and especially your daughter. She needs your help right now. And think about that. The Lord knows us all. Wow. He's so intimately involved. And even if we're not involved with Him, He knows us and He's there for us. And so He sees us and He says, and so this is what's wild. To the right of the throne, He sees an open, narrow, He calls it a very narrow gate that was open to me. And I could see into the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord said, I'm going to send you back. And He said, when I go back, Lord, if I want to come back and go through that narrow gate, how do I go through it? And He says to him, the wages of sin is death. I want honest relationship. Walk with me and surrender daily to me. And He sends him back. Now, 2 years later, Santosh's daughter is invited to sing at a church because she was a choral major. She invites Santosh and his wife to come. The message is on Jesus is the gate through which the sheep enter in and the narrow door.
And he recognized it.
He was overwhelmed and he starts reading the Bible and he comes to faith in Jesus.
Okay. Now that, I mean.
And I have imams, Muslim imams in Rwanda, people related to the Prophet Muhammad in Tehran. Same kinds of stories all over the
world.
That's
what I was going to ask is because, okay, great story, Santosh, right? How do we know you're not making it up or he's not making it up?
I know.
Right? Because, I mean, you know, I'm a little skeptical. But you're saying that no, it's repetition over and over and over.
But also think about this, Randy. Santosh is a manufacturing engineer and he's a Hindu. What does he have to gain making that up?
Not much in India.
Yes.
Another guy is a Hindu anesthesiologist. What does he have to gain? A Muslim imam who's now had six death threats on his life. What does he have to gain saying Jesus rescued him? I point that out, but also even in the United States, the people I have in my book are CEOs, they're surgeons, they're commercial airline pilots, engineers. I mean, they don't have they don't need to write books to make money, you know?
And in a lot of cases, you don't want to necessarily tell your friends these things because they'll think you've lost your mind.
Absolutely. It doesn't help their credibility in their profession.
Wow.
But again, like I said, thousands of them, and they say the same overlapping things, which it doesn't make any sense unless, you know, a scientific principle is that what is consistently observed is real.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, what do you make of this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to show in this book is I'm trying to show that, you know, through you read about 70 different people in Imagine the God of Heaven who experience the same God across cultures,
right. Yes.
Not necessarily the God they were expecting.
Yep.
But what I'm also showing is that this God hasn't just shown up in our modern age of NDEs.
Mm-hmm.
He's been revealing himself all along.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm showing historically how he told us how we could know. And he put signs in history. Mm. And he foretold what he would do through Jesus, the Messiah.
Yeah.
And I'm showing all that as well, along with the heart of God, so that when you read, I mean, I'm really hoping, I believe, when people read this book, first of all, they'll have a far more comprehensive view of God's story through the scriptures, of God's attributes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the other thing. We read about God, but we can't help but put him in a box a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know he's powerful and, you know, sovereign and glorious and all that, but they're just words.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you hear a 12-year-old, I have a 12-year-old in there who describes, and she says, I came back realizing all these words are trying to describe something that is indescribable. But when you hear her, and Karina Martinez from Colombia, who finds herself under the weight of God's glory at his throne in this sea of glass, that she describes, but she's never read the Bible either.
Yeah.
And comes back and she loves Jesus now like crazy.
Okay.
And so what I've realized is God is giving us testimony in our global age that, hey, I've always been the God of all nations.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, stop and think about it. The very first thing he does, you know, after the flood in Genesis, is he creates a nation, Genesis chapter 12, out of Abraham and Sarah. And he says, I'm going to bless you to bless all the nations on earth.
Yes.
Through you, all nations on earth will be blessed.
Amen.
That's what he was doing through the whole Old Testament story. He was preserving his record in the scriptures so that we would know the Messiah when he came.
That's it.
And now he's showing, hey, I'm still blessing all the nations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone who calls in the name of the Lord, Joel said, right? Yeah. Anyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yeah.
So and I think that's what these people are showing.
Okay. Man, there's so much. I want to hear more stories, but we don't have time. So Imagine the God of Heaven is the book by John Burke.
Mm.
And the good news is that you don't have to have a near-death experience to experience Jesus. we have scripture. But also, Tammy, I know you know this, we can be the expression of Jesus to all the nations of the earth, as
Absolutely.
He said. And we have that opportunity right now.
Yes, we do. And like John said, we've been blessed to be a blessing. I just took a trip not too long ago to Central America. I got the chance to step into that place of joy and giving and being a blessing to so many children. I want you to take a look at this. It's pretty awesome.
These are tough conditions. These people are living in absolute poverty. I'm sure it's hard to just provide for your family. I don't know what they have. I don't know what their need is. But I love that I don't have to figure it out. God just sends us. He sends us and he says, show up. It's what I do love about Life Outreach. For the many years that I've traveled with them around the world, wherever we see a need, we just jump in, whatever it looks like. We're thinking of kingdom-minded things. We're thinking of saving a life, but saving their very life, their soul. That's, to me, that's the gospel, what it's all about, spreading the love of Jesus Christ and sharing the good news of Jesus. You know, James and Betty started this Christmas Shoes and Smiles years ago. And I think their heart was absolutely about just showing the love of God, especially to these children all around the world. and it's so, so wonderful. The joy they feel getting something brand new, gosh, it just can change everything for you. Oh my goodness, baby, you need these shoes. These shoes will protect their feet, will keep them from danger, keep them from infection, from injury, from hookworm, and could ultimately lead to death. This is an important need right now all around the world. So if you've given before, thank you so much. If you've never had a chance to give to this ministry, this part of it, Christmas Shoes and Smiles, then I would encourage you, make the best gift that you possibly can. We want to keep putting shoes on children all around the world. We want to do it all. It's been a great year. It's been an incredible year of ministry, whether it's been water, whether it's been food, or whether it's been shoes right here. We are so blessed to do kingdom things. And together, we are changing the lives of people all around the world. We couldn't do it without you. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Honestly, I love watching that. It's like the first time I've actually seen it all put together. What a beautiful trip to Central America that I was privileged to go on and meet so many beautiful people and so many people with great need, whether us stopping and praying for them or me getting the chance to put on a new pair of shoes. I love this part of our ministry. It brings me so much joy. It brings me a huge smile, and I know that it changes the life of these children, bringing them joy, bringing them a smile, especially at Christmas. I can't think of a better time for us to pour into the lives of people, especially children that don't have much of anything but a brand new pair of shoes, Randy.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems so simple, and it doesn't cost a whole lot to do this.
No, it's easy.
Yeah. But,
so here's, you saw the joy on their faces.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it lights them up. And we talk about Christmas being a season of joy. My goodness, this is your opportunity to do something that really will bring joy to a child, but also has the potential to be a real health improvement.
Absolutely. You know, you could see some of the danger of some of the feet and the toes and the cuts. And I mean, it could actually, and we've heard of many stories before where they have died from that because they're not near a clinic or a hospital where they can get care to take care of that. For us to be able to put on a little shoe like this, look, it almost fits me. But it's so much fun. And they are filled with not just a brand new pair of shoes, but really, I think the love of Jesus when we get to love them.
They get to know what Christmas is all about.
Yeah.
And here's how it looks. You can put shoes, brand new pair of shoes that will last a long time. They'll probably, actually, the children will probably outgrow them and pass them down. But you can do that for 10 children right now with a gift of $36. Okay. And maybe you can give shoes to 20 children, or a gift of $72, or 50 pairs of shoes, 50 children for $180. What a simple thing, but it's huge to them.
Yeah.
And there's also one other thing I want to bring to your attention. It's shoes and smiles. And there are many children who cannot express any joy any time of the year because they were born with a cleft lip or cleft palate. We're also providing surgeries, and a typical surgery is about $500. Which is why some of you may want to give a gift of $500 today to provide that corrective surgery. But whatever you can do, many of you can give even more than that. You can give 275 pairs of shoes for $1,000, or two surgeries, or maybe four or more, whatever. I'm just saying, whatever God's enabled you to do and put on your heart to give this Christmas season, this is your opportunity. You can share the love and the joy of Christ through these shoes, through these smiles. Will you do it now? Go online, go to the phone, make the gift that God puts on your heart, and let's make Christmas special.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request the beautifully crafted green crystal shoes ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring three of life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries. With this gift, you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture Consider the Birds. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
This is just one of millions of children all around the world in desperate need of a simple pair of shoes. I am so privileged to be a part of Life Outreach, who not only brings water for life, rescue for life, food programs, but also shoes to children who desperately need them to protect their little feet from cuts, from tears, from even waterborne illness that may get into the cut and affect it. Please, why don't you join me today? Go to your phone or go online and do whatever you can to make a difference, just one child at a time, one pair of shoes at a time.
Let's put shoes and smiles on so many children's feet and faces. We can do it with your support. I hope you're making the best gift you can. So last week we'll be coming to you asking for this. So let's wrap it up. Let's give them a great Christmas.
Yeah.
John, thank you so much for being here. I mean, these stories are great. I know we just scratched the surface.
Oh, we did.
Where can people get the book?
If you pre-order anywhere books are sold, or you can go to imaginethegodofheaven.com.
Okay. Well, this is great, Tammy.
It has been fun. So good. So fun. And what a great conversation. I know that many people are always looking for the answers of what might come next. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you, pick up this book. It'll help you find those answers. Keep looking, keep praying, keep seeking to find a relationship with Jesus ultimately and how much He loves you and cares about you. It's in this book. Pick it up. And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
God does not waste words. If there's a detail in inspired scripture, it's there for a reason, right?
Signs and Secrets of the Messiah, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.